Good morning, and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for July 27th, 2020. We just recorded 5 minutes of awesome banter, and then I pushed stop for some reason.
Did you just...
So let's try this again. In the 5 minutes...
If I were editing, we could have just spliced it into sound. If I knew how to edit...
We don't know how to do that. So maybe... Maybe we'll resume that awesome banter about how much we love our children and their fantastical birthday.
This is not the topic of today's show, but our...
Is that what this is, a show?
We're talking about how obnoxious it is that we have 6 children and they all have birthdays.
Yeah.
And we have to pay for them. And we made a mistake at the very beginning by not telling the first little princess... You can tell us what kind of food you want for your birthday.
But it has to be one of 3 things.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Hamburgers.
No, because then when they want hamburgers, it's homemade hamburgers. Right. And they're like, I want gourmet hamburgers. And so the one time I did that, I spent the entire day, I made bread and I handmade, I bought a cow and ground it up myself.
Homemade hamburgers. I went to McDonald's, right?
Mm-hmm.
We should have just said you can have a meal, but no presents.
Yeah.
And your special thing for your birthday is a meal.
Yeah.
Because we have 6 children, and they all now want, not just, they want bouillabaisse, like yesterday, the bouillabaisse.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I didn't want to tally up how much it costs to get all the different kinds of fish.
Well, we didn't, we did shrimp and scallops and whitefish and clams and mussels. Okay, so it was freakish lot of... And then, then they're sad. Well, there's no crab and lobster. No kidding. There's no crab. I'm not feeding you guys crab.
Lobster? Like what?
You can't even buy lobster in Binghamton. The recipe said, you know, buy a lobster and cook it.
No, I'm not going to kill a lobster for you.
You're not Jesus. So we survived that birthday and... now we are going to talk about with 2 things. We can talk about the opening of grace to you, but we also can talk about this, not grace to you, Grace Community Church.
California.
Does it have to have community in the name? Grace Community Church.
Because it's a church for the community.
Let's call it Grace Church. Community Church. I don't get that. Is that just so that people don't think it's Baptist when it really is Baptist?
No, I don't think... No, John MacArthur's not worried about whether it's Baptist.
He's not Baptist,
is he? He's not Baptist. Mm. I mean, he's Baptist, but he's not Baptist.
He's Baptist. Yeah. I feel
I love John MacArthur, but...
He's definitely Baptist.
Yeah.
Please don't write me hate mail right now. So, but we also both watched that Robert Gagnon... debate with Megan somebody or other.
Roar.
And I blogged about it, but I didn't actually say the stuff that I was thinking about the debate because I was too tired to be blogging. I should not have blogged yesterday. I'm going to take, for the first time in forever, well, except for maybe a couple of times this last year, I'm going to have to take a bit of a blogging break on our vacation because I'm just stick a fork in it done mentally. So... But this debate was really interesting. What did you like about it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I have to say like, but.
Right. It's not like a party and a good time. It's not like eating our delicious bouillabaisse.
But it's that, you know, it was fascinating that she, Megan Rohr, is a PhD. I'm not sure what she's a PhD in. She's a doctor.
Of something.
But by comparison, she wasn't able to think her way out of a paper bag when it comes to scripture. I mean, she's an ordained Lutheran, not confessional Lutheran, but ECLA Lutheran minister. And she, you know, the arguments she was making were just incredible. Like, so circumcision for her represents God's affirmation of body change, of you altering your body. So, the resurrection, Jesus coming back in a changed body, represents for her
a trans
support for trans people mutilating their sexual organs.
The transfiguration, yeah, on top of the mountain.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it has the same prefix,
trans,
but it's, I mean, it was remarkable. And, you know, I think people buy that stuff because, you know, I think if you're already in that, headed in that direction, if you're already, or if you want to not just go in that direction theologically, but just also be able to not stand out and not face cultural rejection by people who you really want to be liked by, you're looking, if you're a Christian, for some kind of biblical excuse, some kind of,
although
some kind of, and so this kind of stuff works because people just say, okay, it's biblical. Okay. This is the Bible says this. I can rest in it.
Except I guess I don't understand why, like, most the Bible kind of portion has been put aside for most everyone who's trying to do this. Like, most people aren't making any effort to do the Bible part anymore. So it was to me, it felt, I said this yesterday, it felt like a throwback. Like, she did sort of try to, well, she said she was reading the Bible literacy.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not saying that people think of the Bible as something, they need the cover. They're not really interested in saying the Bible, you're right. But they need the cover.
Like,
they need to,
if they're in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a church conversation. So any argument will do.
It doesn't have to,
it doesn't
even
have to be
it
consistent
doesn't
with
even,
text.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, it just has to be, okay, look, this is biblical.
Right.
She's quoting from Leviticus, or she's quoting from Deuteronomy. She's quoting from.
Except she didn't actually quote, well, she quoted Galatians.
No male or female, right?
Yeah, okay, so even the creation of Adam, she said, was a trans event.
Yeah.
Because
he took
Adam. And then, so the great thing, like, I think people should watch this, is that, Robert Gagnon, first of all, he did fall into a grieved, like, I'm persecuted by everyone, which,
yeah.
I mean, I can understand why he would, but I don't think that really, I think he should have kept it above.
Well,
that.
He has been significantly,
yeah,
I would say persecuted because, yeah, of his position.
I know, I'm not, and apparently right before they went on air, she called him a white supremacist.
Yeah.
And so he said,
or
that.
Or she likened him to a white supremacist because of his,
and so he brought that, I thought, that's totally fair. If somebody says something off mic and then comes on and tries to play nice, it's totally fine to call, yeah, to say, yeah, that.
I mean, he really did a good job of nailing the inconsistency and the hypocrisy of the theological left talking about love and inclusion and the need to welcome everybody while at the same, and everybody has a voice, while at the same time working hard to shut people like him up.
Which she admitted, like,
yeah,
not everybody should be allowed to talk about this in every, because it's so painful and so harmful.
It's remarkable that she said that she was willing to,
yeah,
say that.
She just did. So that was a big concession. I mean, I think that was great to say that you should say what you think, like,
right,
though, don't hide it anymore. The good part about it is that the two things I liked about what Robert Gagnon did was, first, he did deal sort of quickly, in spite of his bad sound issues, with the textual issues. Like, she tried to say that Hebrew pronouns are used, you know, like, he is used for she all the time in scripture, and he got rid of that really fast. He got rid of the Genesis and the circumcision and the Galatians and I can't remember.
I mean,
all
she,
of them.
He demolished
every single
attempt that she made to
use the Bible in any way. He just quick. But then he went up, you know, 10,000 feet and talked about the cross and the love of God. And he ended that way, which I thought was really good. He went,
yeah,
up and talked about she also tried to recast repentance as
trans, changing. Like, so metanoia is all about you
changing.
If you go from a man to a woman, you're repenting, because, and her idea, yeah, it's interesting because her thought was, you're going toward your true self. And that's what repentance is going toward your true self. And because it's not, repentance is forsaking yourself and going toward Christ.
Yeah.
And being remade in his image, not a better image of you.
Right. Or, so there is no good true self at the center of the human person.
Right.
There's no like special soul that you're trying to just get, peel all the layers back until you get to this bright, shiny thing, and then actualize that, which I think has come into the church. Like,
yeah,
Glennon Doyle has used that language, and Jen Hatmaker, you've got to keep peeling back, keep refashioning yourself until you get to this central perfection of who you are. And that exists, like I was trying to say, it exists eternally. And it's different from your body.
Or it doesn't have to be, but it can be. Your body doesn't determine it.
Right. It's like this, I don't know. It's like that in that Inside Out movie where the balls, those little glass balls of precious memories are stored. That movie was really interesting to me. I don't know why I thought of it just now, but actually the whole conversation with this between these two made me think, you know, people have this idea of these beautiful bright pearls of who they are that are
within,
stored in heaven, instead of Christ being the beautiful thing that you look at and are changed into. It's you yourself.
And that's straight out of, lots of people said this, but that's Gnosticism. That's exactly what the Gnostics were saying in the second century, third century, that within is where the divinity lies, and you tap into that. And they give you various methods and modes of tapping into that. So you truly are a being of light. You just have to figure out the secret.
The secret.
To pull it out and live in accordance with it. So now we're that's Gnosticism in a different form. I mean, the of course, in the modern day, you don't have all the emanations from the various heavenly entities that go along with Gnosticism, but the whole idea of you being a really special spirit person, and that spirit person has no connection with biology, because, you know, for the Gnostics, your body was really bad. Your body was something it was either bad or irrelevant. And the same thing is true for,
yeah, the trans thing. Your body is also bad. Like, it's,
yeah, if it's not,
you it's can, ink. You can mutilate it. You can, it's somehow honoring, apparently, to dishonor it.
Yeah.
Or to reject it.
Yeah.
Even to the core of its biology with hormones and, it's tragic.
Someone asked a question yesterday about, like, what do we tell kids who are facing this stuff? And I was thinking, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I can't imagine thinking that this was even attractive, but for some reason it's become kind of cool.
Well, it's a way of being really unassailably accepted. If you're troubled or unhappy, and you feel alienated and isolated, which every single teenager does, like every single person comes to a point where they realize they're the only person that is ever going to live in their own body, and no one is ever going to really understand them.
Yeah.
And then I mean, it's a psychic painful time, right?
Right.
Every teenager faces this. And then if you add real things, like you are alone in the cafeteria, or your parents are fighting and they don't love you, and they did decide to get divorced, the only way to become truly and unassailably accepted, so no one can ever question you ever about anything, is to be not gay anymore, but trans.
Right.
And if you decide that you're trans, you can be an awkward, alienated teenager and everyone will love you
yeah.
for who you are. Again, very tragic because you're not actually being who you are. You know, you're searching around for who you, instead of accepting yourself, who you are, and trusting in Christ who accepts you. You're doing things to your body right. that are irrevocable.
I think it's, I think the need to be socially accepted is a real big part of it. But I also think it has explanatory power. Like if you're 12, 13 or younger, and you feel really that just not, like you say, alienated.
Yeah.
Well, the trans people comes up. Well, here's why you feel that way.
Yeah.
Because you're not living out who you really are.
Whereas, your hormones are raging.
Right.
Your body is going through a transformation of its own.
Right.
That you should just ride out.
Right.
Like a horrible. It's horrible. And this is interesting in terms of childhood development. I've now had 6 children, and I found the ages of 9 to 12 a really tough. Like, there is boys and girls, you know, baby is great. The older child is great, but then 9 to 12, sometimes 13 is tough. And okay, here's where, parenting comes into it. If you have, you and I both were not great teenagers, I would say. I was moody and mean and sad and I think disrespectful, and I was obedient, but I was angry a lot. It went on through my teens, right? Until I got maybe even to be 19 or 20.
Yeah.
Your parents and my parents parented correctly. It's not our parents' fault.
No.
But somehow, I'm not sure how we did this, we did what we were supposed to do through the babyhood and early childhood. And then we managed to ride out. I've now done this with 3 kids and I'm into my 4th. When the hormones hit, which is for girls between 12 and 13, and for boys is like 14, if you can ride that out, when the hormones actually hit that kid's body like a wave, they settle down.
Yeah, yeah.
And they become comfortable and cheerful and funny and intellectually curious and human.
Yeah.
But that's when people are messing with the biology of children.
Yeah.
When they feel most uncomfortable before their hormones have really hit them, they go in and say, oh, well, maybe you're a boy instead of a girl.
It's really insidious.
Whereas it's satanic if you just waited and was with the child and loved them through that difficult time. When the hormones hit, they settle and they're comfortable and happy in who they are. But by and large, of course, I'm talking not about the statistical minority, but that's what's so horrible about it, is that you then make it so that they will never be
right.
comfortable and happy and
in their body.
You gave them
right.
hormones that they won't recover from.
Right. It's legitimately child abuse. So that people who do this should be arrested, but instead they're celebrated.
Yeah, they're given accolades and so. Okay, that was...
So for the Christian, though, and one of his points real fast, which is really important, is that, you know, if you believe in God's sovereignty, that then God gave you the body you have. He didn't... Your body is your body. He didn't...
It's not unkind that he gave it to you.
Yeah, and so part of your... If you don't feel at home in it, part of your Christian task is to submit yourself to God's... The objectivity of God's giving you this body that you have. And learn how to live within it.
Yeah. Which is painful because you do have to go through periods where you try to accept its limitations.
Right.
And it does do amazing things. I mean, I have given birth 6 times. And I go through lots of times where I absolutely hate my... Not lots of times. Almost every day, half of every day, I hate my body because it's... so weak Like, there's so many things I would do if I had a different body. And I think that's really tough. You know, it's nobody wants to be limited. No one wants to accept the limitations of their own, you know, their actual physical, you know, you stop at the end of your fingers. You don't go out in your spirit to occupy other people's bodies.
Yeah.
That's really hard. It's, and I don't, I, you know, it's interesting to me that with this trans, the rise of the trans stuff has happened at the same time the church couldn't deal with the question of suffering at all. And I think the coming into the church of trans and LGBT stuff has been another way of explaining and glorifying human suffering and giving it meaning when the church didn't want to suffer. You know, we didn't give ourselves a reason to suffer and die. We were going on to glory. We were going to be, God was going to make us rich and healthy. And it's an interesting sort of line, two things crossing over each other. And the meaning point is the destruction of the church,
yeah,
and the rise of LGBT.
Right.
We don't, nobody wants to suffer, or yeah, you don't want to have meaningless suffering. And the church doesn't give, hasn't for two decades given a good answer to the question of why you would suffer in your body. Why should you be willing to do that?
Right, because no one wants to hear that, because we want to have big churches, so we have to talk about how there's, Christ doesn't want you to,
Christ doesn't want you to suffer.
Yeah. So
I think it's interesting with the COVID thing too, like people are not excited to suffer about COVID similarly.
It is a smooth segue,
but I just want to go back and say that I didn't like the Megan Rohr person. She repeatedly questioned, whenever Dr. Gagnon would make a really good point,
yeah,
and kind of demolish her argument, she would ask, she did it repeatedly, what is it about you that you've had to spend your whole life studying this issue and trying to destroy people? And whenever he would say, I'm not, like,
says the woman who's actively advocating the mutilation of children.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something. Dedicating your life to stop that is perfectly legitimate.
And also, I've heard some Christians do this. What is it about you that you feel like this is really, really important that you have to keep talking about it? I think that should go away. Like, if somebody's on attack and they're, don't question somebody's internal motivations. This happens to you sometimes.
It's a subtle way of saying you're homophobic or you're transphobic or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you really hate people and that's what's driving you. And instead of saying, I think your philosophy that you're trying to insert into the church is going to destroy souls, so I'm dedicating my life to that. I don't know if that happened.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to be questioned, like, what is it about you that you've got to advocate for trans stuff? Like, don't do it the other way.
Yeah.
So don't psychologize the other person. It's bad enough as it is.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wish he would have.
It was good that he didn't, because I don't know how he would have.
Well, he could have said, well, what it is about you that you're dedicating your life to mutilating children.
He should have said that.
What it is about you is that you're dedicating your life to helping children mutilate their genitals. What does that say about you?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I thought he spent his time well anyway. Anyway, yeah, that was a pretty great segue, but I did it a minute and a half too early. So do we want to, I fear to tread.
Yeah, this is dangerous territory. I mean, I'm looking at the Twitter feed this morning, and, you know, either John MacArthur and Grace Community Church are wicked, horrible people for opening up during COVID and exposing their people to death, and disregarding everything else for the sake of their perceived freedom to worship, or
they are literally Jesus.
Yeah, and if you don't follow their line, then you are literally Satan.
You're literally Satan.
Like, literally, it's the same thing. I mentioned on Facebook I was pretty bored with the mask controversy, and people just couldn't deal with it. You know, they had to say something. I mean, on both sides, I had someone try to put an argument on both sides, because it's now like it's now an idol. Or an icon, right? So the math, where you fall in the math question, it's not just a question of health or what you think about the science of the issue. It's hugely political and now theological. And if you fall in, and either way you fall on it, it's like a zero sum game. You if you're wearing a mask, you are
literally Hitler.
You are, yeah, or you're supporting Hitler.
You're supporting Hitler, and if you're not wearing a mask, you are also literally.
You're a political. You're also Hitler in a different way.
Everyone is Hitler now.
It's just insane. People are just are excommunicating one another basically online about this question.
So here's another place where I again don't quite understand, because within our own congregation, we have people all over the map on this. We have people who are really afraid to come to church,
mm-hmm.
And who will not come. They are not going to come until there's a solution to COVID. They're members of our church, and we're trying to take care of them pastorally, but they will not come to church until COVID is over,
right?
Which is hard because they continue to be isolated. Yeah,
for another year, so.
I don't know. Then there are people who really think that COVID is a complete hoax, and those people, we're accommodating people who are mask phobic or who don't really believe in COVID outside, which. We're all worshiping together as best we can in many different locations. Because it's not a dividing issue, like the people who don't believe in COVID and the people who are desperately afraid of COVID can still love each other.
Yeah, there's even nothing from a distance unbiblical about either one of those positions. Like if you want to, you're not violating scripture if you think masks are a good thing. You're not violating scripture if you think they're a bad thing.
If you don't believe in COVID, you can still be a Christian. If you think COVID has been overblown, gosh, I kind of hear you. Like within our own government, state governments, we've all been told that it's fine to rally protest for Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter and go out and scream and sing certain songs. Yeah. And at the same time, if we gather together in churches, we are literally Hitler killing everyone.
Which is why I completely understand.
So if you don't believe in COVID, there's a little part of me that is like...
There's a lot of big part of me.
Big part of me that's like, maybe it isn't real.
Well, the stats are not holding up. I mean, the death stats anyway.
Death stats
seem... Like 0.002 percent of people who get it die. So it's
there's other problems, though, you end up getting. The other part of me, because I have... I'm anxious about people actually not getting this, thinks it's real. And I, any given day, I go back and forth and back and forth, which means that I'm just exchanging one Hitler for the other Hitler all day long. I'm like a schizophrenic Hitler myself.
So you can fall down on either side of the question without being disobedient to God. But what you can't do without being disobedient to God is treat your brother or sister with contempt because he or she holds a different view than you do. That's what you can't do because this is a non-essential issue. And that's what's happening all over the place.
So I guess I don't understand Grace Church decided to open and that's great. Hi dog. I have a dog here.
And it wasn't just they decided to open. The governor, I think, said either churches can't open or said they had to stay within 50 people. Under 50 people, and there's just massive hypocrisy because
they're allowing these protests.
Right, exactly. So if they're allowing protests, there's no.
And in Nevada, they opened
casinos
and not churches.
Right.
Okay, so
and then the Supreme Court backed them up.
Yeah.
Which I feel like
America is over.
I think it's a legitimate reason for civil disobedience for churches to open up. In the face of that kind of double standard, but how you open up also is a different is part of the question. I mean, is there the Grace Community Church opened up without any social distancing and without any masks, and everyone thought, oh, this is the best thing in the world.
I don't know. I saw that crowd and I freaked out because I wouldn't go in there. I'm actually don't want to get COVID and I'm afraid of getting COVID.
I'm not.
I know you're not, but I'm like genuinely afraid myself of getting COVID.
So I do think, you know, it's a kind of a pastoral question.
What, so
do
you know,
do
what?
You open
we
up like that? No,
because
I don't think you should open up
we're
like
on
that. But,
two sides of message.
So, right. Well, that's a kind of a pastoral question. How, if you, so I agree in the face of that, of the devil's standard, that churches should open up in mass. I would love it if every church said, you know what, we're opening up. Every church in a state where the governor allows protests but doesn't allow churches to open, I think they should just open. But how you open is a really important pastoral question, because you're going to have people in your congregation on both sides of this thing, and you don't want to drive any of them away from Jesus or the gospel because of your own personal feelings about masks or no masks. So I think you got to accommodate, find a way to accommodate.
Yeah.
Everything.
Make it so that all people can come and worship Jesus in whatever one way or that they can, and love each other
Yeah.
Instead of, yeah.
So I think that's where I think John MacArthur made, who I love. I think he's a great pastor, preacher. I disagree with him on certain things like, you know, baptism and dispensationalism, but
those are kind of big things.
Yeah, it was a big thing, but and he's a, you know, he doesn't think much of people who do ritual like we do.
Yeah, he wouldn't love us.
He wouldn't love us, but we but I love him, and I've been really helped by his preaching over the years. But I do think he should have made a way. I'm not sure. Maybe he did make a way for people outside who didn't want to come into that building. I don't know.
I guess I feel like Christians, as usual, we never seem to take ourselves up on it, but have an opportunity to be, to show how to show the love of Christ. And I don't hear it. I don't hear the love of Christ. Of course, Twitter is not the place to go to get that, with the shouting on either side, like, this is all about our Christian freedom. And if we wear masks, we're betraying Jesus and our freedom in Christ. Those tweets I just didn't get.
I was like,
what? You, nothing about the New Testament.
Point me to the text where that can be substantiated.
Yeah.
I mean,
American freedoms aren't actually in the text of the New Testament. Your freedom as an American citizen to do whatever it is the government says you can do is not a biblical thing. Like the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Mask Amendment. Like, that's just not.
Yeah.
This is one thing I've never understood about American culture.
So, we should probably say that the licking and scratching.
It's all dogs.
The dogs have decided to come up with this.
I cut our dog's vast amount of hair off yesterday. He was really unhappy with me, but it's like 100 degrees today.
Yeah.
And I was worried he would literally die. So he looks like a drowned rat right now because I cut everything off. I cut his nice fluffy hair off, and he looks terrible.
Yeah.
Not very good at it, but.
I mean, so I at our Good Shepherd, we have an outside service and inside service. An outside service for people who cannot or won't will not wear masks, and those for inside.
Some people who cannot wear masks, and I think that's why that's everybody else wears a mask is for
but
the
see, we've
people
said,
who can't.
If you, well, we've said inside, if you can't wear, if you actually physically can't wear a mask, you can still come inside.
Yeah,
that's part of the rule. But
that's on all the posters that we had to put up from the government.
Yeah.
Speaking of government undoctrination.
Right.
We're trying to actually follow what. Okay, so guys.
And so in winter, we'll probably have to go from two services to three services.
So we can have a maskless service.
Right.
I want to save my Christian witness. I want to save my civil disobedience against the government, even when things are really unfair. I guess that's what the double standard of a government just being inconsistent and terrible isn't, for me, a time when you go on the civil disobedience role.
I disagree with you on that.
It's when you... Wait, like, so the government can open casinos and not open churches, and I can be like, you know what, I'm just going to still follow the law as best I can.
No, because...
I'm going to save it for when I really, really need it, which I'm going to really need it. And I feel like many of us have squandered our Christian witness.
I disagree with that, because I think that there is a command for us to meet together. That's what the church is, to meet together. And I understand in times of national emergency, the church, the state would have the authority, I think, in Romans 13 to say, okay, let's hold back everything, right? We're just not meeting together. No one's meeting together. But then when you have the state saying, okay, BLM can meet together, but the church can't meet together, I think that oversteps the Romans 13 model, and you've now moved into, do you follow Christ or do you follow the state? I think
this is that we can meet together. Huh? We can still follow the gut, like when the state doesn't follow its own guidance. But I mean, in Nevada, California, like, you know, they were allowed to meet in certain situations, couldn't they? Or they can't meet at all.
I think it's like there's a number listed, like 50 or something like that. So,
well, that's kind of, no, it's just not. Keep doing services all day. You can still have church.
John MacArthur is like 81 years old. No, I don't agree. I think again, if the state were exercising legitimate authority, it would say, okay, we're going to shut down the protests. We're going to shut down the casinos, and we're going to ask the churches not to meet. Illegitimate authority is saying we're going to open the casinos. We're going to let the protests go without any kind of social distancing or anything. And then we're going to tell the church you can't meet. That, I think, oversteps the bounds of legitimate authority, and the church, I think, is justified in meeting.
Justified, but I don't know. I would save it, because we're going to need it more later. We're going to need it, like, we're going to need our civil disobedience. And if we're out on Twitter saying, my freedom, I mean, a lot of people are going to drown it out.
I don't think you should do that on the basis of my freedom or whatever it might be. I think you should do it on the basis of the command of God to meet together.
I just wish all those people had been wearing masks, because even in the mass protests, people in mass protests, BLM, they largely wear masks. So I think it would have looked nicer on the thing if all the people had come and worn masks. Mm-hmm. It would have been a nice thing to do.
I do wonder, however, about all the people who are going suddenly discovering Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, about the command to meet together.
Where are all those?
We got to be a church. Where we have to be in church. Where were you? Like,
where were you
last year? Right?
It's what that Rowan Atkinson thing where he's like, it's songs of praise, and one Sunday it's, you know, there's the organist, the sexton, and he says a can of tomato soup, and then he says, where were you with all your hats? Because they're going to be on television. Right, I mean, for real.
So like, I think there's a little bit of hypocrisy. I can't imagine that all the people now screaming and yelling about churches not meeting
are really there every Sunday. Go to church every Sunday, then. If this is going to be what it gets you in, then good. So.
But it's not really. But it shouldn't be what gets you in.
It should be Jesus.
Well, I think it was protests that gets them in.
Yeah, like Americans love their protests. Every American, that's the thing, on the right, and like whatever it is that you're protesting, the government, BLM.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I do think, like, if they had a casino thing in New York where you can open unless you're a casino, that we should have, like, put bingo, we could open and put bingo mats out everywhere and, like, start calling out the numbers and be like, wait, we're just gambling.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I thought that would have been more fun. Anyway,
so I mean, I think it was fine for okay. So if you are a church and you really don't think you should open, like if you're not opening because you agree that you shouldn't,
because you
that's fine
for safety,
not for the obedience to a tyrannical government, because you for safety of your own people think it's right not to open. That's fine.
Yeah, I
get that. But if you are
But I also think it's okay to be obedient to the government if you don't fall down on this particular issue and you're waiting for the next one. I think that's fine too. Like,
I don't think so. Because again, it's
we are open to a certain capacity, and I think that's we should stay that way right now.
Right.
Even though they've allowed protests.
The state said you need no longer can churches meet, but the protests in New York City can go on.
Okay, if they told us we had to shut, because they've been trying to shut bars and stuff, and
or
Little League shut down.
Or only 50 people in your building at one time.
I mean, if everything else except the protest is 50 people in a building at one time, I would still be like, let's do 50 people. But our people are worried about getting COVID. So I don't want to fill up our building to capacity. Like, even with protests, I think people would be really anxious. You know, that's a
Okay, but you're, that's coming back to what I was saying. If you as a church don't think you should, that's fine. But don't obey the government in a double standard situation, because the government is then overstepping its legal authority and its biblical authority. Its biblical authority doesn't give it the right to contravene God's law. And if God commands us to meet, we meet. He does command us to, for reasons of guarding against evil and protecting the innocent, to obey the governor. But that seems to not be the case in California anymore, or in Nevada anymore. It's not. That's their regulations there have nothing to do with public safety. They have to do with, and again, if they did, there'd be a kibosh on the protests, and a kibosh on the casinos.
I guess, okay, I guess I sort of agree with you. I don't know. I do think, like, if here's one area where the deep inconsistencies come to the fore. If Black lives really did matter, for instance, I would say, then why are we, there shouldn't be protests right now. If COVID is real and Black lives really matter, why are we protesting? Like, I'm confused. Again, though, because I sort of believe that COVID is real, I'm actually been anxious watching crowds and crowds of people. And I don't buy the, they're all outside, so it doesn't matter, because people are pressed in against each other. You can get COVID outside. Maybe it's more unlikely, but it's still possible. So maybe COVID isn't real. Maybe that's my problem, and I still believe in something that's over. But I found this whole year very stressful. Like the rest of the entire world.
I'm beginning to think it's overblown, because the stats are just so ridiculous now. I mean, they're getting more cases. There's definitely a surge, but the deaths are just so small.
But then people are getting these after effects where it lingers, and they have immuno issues.
Right. And, but I'd like to see a stats on those too.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I don't have the stats on those, so I can't.
One thing I'm planning to link today is this wonderful, this is old, but spurious correlations, where they put two graphs together that have nothing to do with each other. U.S. spending on science-based technology correlates with suicides by hanging, strangulation, and suffocation. I want somebody to do some COVID.
Correlations.
Number of people who drowned by falling into a pool correlates with films Nicolas Cage appeared in. So I'm going to do that. Well, anyway, I hope nobody hates me, even if I am literally Hitler. And I'm just trying to be, I'm going to get off of a lot of social media for the first time in my life in August, because I've always thought it was sort of weak, people get off social media, but I'm going to probably take a big break on some various platforms, because I am finding myself angry with people who I normally don't have bad feelings towards. Like people who I both know in person and don't, I found that I'm in a constant, my face is always tense, both because I'm often wearing a mask, and two, because I'm looking at my phone, and I think I need to stop doing that. You know, and especially, like, I shouldn't bring this up, but watching the Portland stuff, every morning I wake up and I scroll through Twitter, and there are what feels like, it's probably only in the 20s, but feels like hundreds of videos of what are being called protests in Portland at night.
They're barbaric riots.
But they're not protests. There's fire and violence and
revolution.
Yeah. in downtown Portland. And then in the morning, there's more pictures. People drive through and take pictures of the piles of garbage and graffiti. And then, so then I go over and I read the Twitter feeds of people who are like, Portland's not burning down. I know all of Portland isn't burning down, but what is happening to downtown Portland feels to me just really tragic, because it's a city I love. And maybe it is just because the feds went in.
No, it's not. It was going on long before the feds came in.
I know, because I've been reading about it for the last 2 years.
Came in. And I'm glad they don't wear their names on the uniforms, because they'll be doxxed. And I'm glad that they're nabbing people off the streets. And I think they should continue that.
But they're releasing them the next morning on bail.
I don't think they should do that. I think they should nab people off the streets, put them in jail, or maybe, you know,
They're released immediately. And the faces of people who are being picked up and then released on bail, they'll have to show up before a judge. Those people are on Twitter every morning. There's people who are documenting this who are not on the right. They're not like...
Yeah, Andrew Ngo is what it was.
Yeah. The other person that I can't remember.
And the mayor of Portland.
Oh, it's disingenuous to let it go on.
To their demands, and no, if you're mayor of a city like that, you send in the guard. You get the SWAT teams together and shut the protests down.
Yeah, it shouldn't have to be the federal.
You're jeopardizing the lives and livelihoods of people who you are supposed to protect, and you're abdicating your responsibility to the city.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. I mean, it is interesting that the mayors that are allowing this kind of thing to happen are all leftists who are not stepping in. And this is one of those times when, yes, you need an iron fist. You need a violent response to violence to put it down. I really don't think people understand that anymore. I think it's because we stopped spanking children, but yeah, this is basically a temper tantrum, and you don't stop a temper tantrum by listening to the demands of a child. You stop a temper tantrum with a swift, stinging rebuke to the rear end.
I mean, children, the greatest gift that you can give to a child is to show them that they can obey, and that obedience is good. They can have self-control. And if you don't give your child the gift of self-control, you give them a lifetime of sorrow.
Yeah,
that's true. And you make them, it's like putting a curse on them by God. That's what it's likened to. And I do watching this stuff going on, and it does make me feel like we as a country are cursed by God for reasons that I can totally understand.
Makes sense.
But anyway, I do think that Christians should keep trying in this time of strange darkness. And I think that I should spend August praying more and looking at Twitter less.
Yeah, so just as we're talking, we should probably close. But so one guy tweets a picture of John MacArthur and says, since there seems to be some confusion around this subject, here's a helpful visual aid. This is what a man looks like.
And then there's a picture of John MacArthur. That's
awesome. And then right after this is another guy. I'm so grieved by this picture. It's a picture of
all the people.
I'm so grieved by this picture of John MacArthur's church today. This isn't loving one's neighbor. This isn't even Christianity. It's a cult of selfishness and denying science. Every single person in this photo is a hazard to health, is a health hazard to their community. Infuriating, right?
So everyone is literally Hitler. I'm sorry. I think everyone should get off of Twitter for August. Yeah, for the rest of COVID, we should shut Twitter down. That would actually solve all of our world problems. I don't know if we'll be back next week, because we're going to be official.
We're going to try and take some time off from.
I know that you'll miss our precious, precious voices during this time. And maybe we'll do a couple, but we should not announce that we're going to do them. It can be special.
And we'll
treats.
Send out maybe old.
Oh, old ones.
We'll have a month of.
The best of.
The best of.
Oh, gosh.
Very special.
Very special episodes. Well. I hope everybody else has a great month, and we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening.